Each of us that different ones speak, we come from a different perspective, don't we? And that's good to hear people, you know, sharing from their life. It's not just one person. So please welcome Rebecca as she comes up and shares the message on today.
Good morning. I hope everybody had a great Christmas. And I'm praying for you to have a blessed new year. Amen? Which that can happen. The title is Focusing on the Big Picture for 2020, Infinity and Beyond. Who's heard of that expression, Infinity and Beyond? From this Toy Story movie. I love that. And there's a scene in there. I'm not sure exactly which one it is, but there's a scene in there where Buzz Lightyear, if you're not familiar with this, these two little toys are competing for the little boy Andy's affections. You know, I'm the best toy, I'm the best toy. Well, it comes down to two, a little cowboy named Woody and a little spaceman named Buzz. And so they're in this room, and Buzz says, you know, I can fly. And Woody's saying, no, you can't. There's no way you can fly. And he has, like, these plastic wings. And so he jumps off this thing and head first on towards the floor, just flying. He hits this ball. He bounces up and he lands on this track, and the track takes him down and around the room. And then this plane catches him and carries him around the room, and he lands right back down in front of Woody and all the toys on his feet. I told you I could fly. And I thought, you know what? That, to me, is a picture of willpower and self-power. You know, I can fly, and I can make this happen, and it's going to happen. And it happened, right? Not really, but it sort of did. And I think that as we face our future, you know, realistically, like, we need to look towards 2020, but also infinity beyond, like, not just past this, not just in this life, but in the future in this life and to eternity, because we're spirits, we're going to live forever. We need to think about power. Bill's been talking about how the Lord wants us to think more and pray more and experience the supernatural power of God. And I agree with that. And I think people, human beings, we have a lot of power. God's given us a mind. God's given us a will. God's given each one of us different strengths and gifts. And we can accomplish a lot in this life. But we need to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish, what He created for us to accomplish in this life. And so we need God's super on our natural, supernatural power. And so that's what I'm going to talk about this morning. 2020 is here. It's important, but infinity and beyond is more important. Let's see, before you leave today, if you'll implement what I'm going to share with you by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be well on your way to knowing what 2020 holds for you and the rest of your life, and the rest of your existence. You'll know it. You can know it, pretty much. How many would like to know what 2020 holds for you? Amen. All right. I've got so much on my heart this morning. I know God's going to speak to some people, and it could potentially change your life forever. And I'm really excited to see what God's going to do. It's kind of bold for me to say that, you know, you can really know what's going to happen. I mean, you can't know every little detail of your life, what's going to happen, but you can know in general what's going to happen when you put your life into the hands of God. So, if you have notes, does anybody want notes? If you don't have them, raise your hand. We'll get them to you. We have a little bit of fill in the blank, which y'all know that's a little bit of a struggle for me to keep up with, but I'm going to try my best this morning. Mercy. Anyway, so the first, I'm going to talk about three things this morning. I want to talk about what the big picture is, focusing on the big picture, right? And then I'm going to talk why the big picture is everything in life. It's everything in life. And number three, I'm going to share with you the secret key for how to successfully navigate the big picture. It's going to be amazing. First, I want to talk about what the big picture is. The big picture is the overall scheme of things. You can fill that in, overall scheme of things. It's the sum of parts or details. It's just like everything combined. It's the strong foundation we need to build a strong and blessed life. The big picture, you've got to have that big picture to have a blessed life. It's the ultimate goal in life. It's the motivation to keep us moving forward. It's everything in life. All right. So why is the big picture everything? Have you ever thought about it? I know if you're older like me, or even a little bit older than me, I just turned 64. But when you get to this point in your life, you think, you know, okay, most of my life has passed by. Does anybody ever think at this time of the year, okay, that year just went by. Okay, it's Christmas. It's come and gone, you know. Well, that's how our life's going to be someday. When we come to the end of our life, we take our last breath, we're going to stand before God. We're going, wow, my life just came and went. This is reality. This is the way it is. And so that's why the big picture is so important. So we, without recognizing, you fill these blanks in, without recognizing, focusing on, and embracing the big picture, we can never truly and fully know our purpose. We all have a purpose. We all have an assignment in life. What's your assignment? What's your purpose? Have you ever thought about that before? Do you believe that? I think everybody deep down has a sense of purpose, you know, the need to have a purpose, to fulfill a purpose in life, to be significant. And I believe that God made everybody like that. And we all at any point in time can embrace that. At any point in time. It doesn't matter how old you are or what you've been through or anything like that, or what you foresee coming. You can stop, and that's what I'm going to challenge you to do today, is to stop and to embrace and to focus on and recognize your purpose. Slide number 4. This is because without recognizing, focusing on, and embracing the big picture, we will never realize or experience the fulfillment of our goals in life, our overall goal, actually. You'll have little goals, you know, and you'll accomplish things here and there, but to really win in life, to really overcome, to really fulfill your destiny, you have to implement these things. So the goal that we should all have is our final destination. That's slide number 6. That's the goal we should have in life, our final destination. We have to be thinking about that no matter how old you are. I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, not everybody lives to grow old, right? You never know when you're going to go. And I was reading through my journal the other day, and I happened to find this thing that I had written, and I thought, well, I'm going to read that because that applies. Because in life, we're given freedom and choice to become a part of God's family or not. It's not about being religious. Christianity is not about being religious. It's not about being a quote, good person and doing good deeds. Christianity is about knowing God. Knowing God. There's a scripture that says that when we stand before God in heaven one day, he's going to say, come in or leave. And if he knows you, he's going to say, come in. And that's where we want to be. So I just want to read this with you a little bit, because I feel like this is basically what it is. God's children are actually in a creative partnership with God. Some things we must wait for, but I truly believe that there are times when our Father delights in placing a paintbrush in our hand to give us the latitude to colorfully create around his directives. I don't know what he intends for your life, but I'm confident that the same principle applies to you. Sometimes we simply need to step out in faith and trust our instincts and partner with God and know that God is well able to guide us and correct us. And we start going. You know, I've always heard that expression, you can't guide a parked car. You got to get going. You got to move forward. You got to step out in faith and do what you believe God has called you to do. And if you do that, don't worry about it. Because if you need to be corrected, God will be able to correct you at that point. But you've got to be moving forward. And so I've discovered that God is always a reassuring step ahead in all we are entering into. Actually, he's light years ahead. And he's a master at joining the dots of his master plan, which itself weaves itself around through all our lives. And that's the key, is to be in a partnership with God and let him weave your life and put it together and finish it up. So slide number 6, the goal is our final destination, which is to be with God forever. This life is where we are given the freedom and choice to be a part of his family. And then slide number 7 is John 3:16. I'm not sure if we have that up there. Well, we just came through Christmas. Jesus was born, the Son of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his only begotten Son for us, that we wouldn't be condemned, but we would be saved forever. And that's God's goal for us in this earth. Sometimes people think, well, you know, what's life all about, really? You know, I heard somebody say, well, you just work, and you go to school, and you make your money, and you get your toys, and you do this, and you do that. And it, you know, really some of it makes you happy, but deep down, does it satisfy you? I mean, I don't think, it never has satisfied me. I'm always looking for, you know, before I became a Christian, I was always looking for satisfaction. I was like, oh, this party was a drag. Where's the next party? You know, let's find a good party, or this person's a drag, or, you know, whatever. You know, there were some moments that were great, but overall, that sense of purpose was left empty in me. And at 22, it's when I decided, because I was raised in church and I believed it, but I just didn't want it. I didn't want to be a Christian at that point. I wanted to live it up. And I found out that it was just a dead end road. It was just emptiness. I gave up because I felt God drawing me. And I surrendered my life to him. And I said, from now on, I'm going to serve you. I'll serve you with all my heart. You put me in a hut in Africa, I'm going to go with all of my heart and be happy. That was my worst fear. But then late after, after I became a Christian, I got this invitation to come to Kenya with this, you know, this lady evangelist. And she's like, come to Kenya, you know, and everything. And I thought, I want to go. My pastor's like, no, I don't think you should go, you know. And it was just really strong, and I felt like, uh-oh, well, okay, maybe I won't. But anyway, it was funny because before I became a Christian, I didn't want to go. And then after I became a Christian, I said, oh, I want to go. So you just never know what God has for you, but God is good. I can testify to that. And you just have to tweak it as you go. You just partner up with him, and you'll be going in a direction. And sometimes God will say, you know, go this way, that way. Stop, wait, move. You know, that's the way it is. The Christian life is dynamic. It's adventuresome. It's the most exciting thing you've ever experienced when you've totally given everything over to him. That's the key. That's the key. Is giving everything, not the secret key I'm going to share with you, but the key to being a Christian. He loves us all so much. He wants us. He wants our heart. He wants our life forever. He wants to save us from what? People say, why do you got to get saved? Well, what do you think you got to get saved from? From yourself. And because yourself wants things that may not necessarily be the best thing for you. Probably aren't, mostly. And there's a pull in the world. It's deceptive. It's deadly. It's a downward pull. That's just all there is to it. It's going to pull you down. And you may not right this minute. It may not this week. But if you go with it, it's going down. And I just want to tell you today that you need to get with God. You're going up. Amen? All right, let's look at slide number 8. How do we successfully navigate the picture? We need to know the secret key to successfully navigate it. And number 9, the secret key is that we need goals. We need goals in our life. That's just realistic. That's just the way it is. You can't willy-nilly everything and expect to really do much. Or to see, you know, many good things in your life. And not just any goals, we need smart goals. I don't know if most of you know, I'm back in college at UF. And I tell you, God put me there. It is a miracle, I'll tell you right now. And I just learned in a couple of my leadership classes that you have to have smart goals to accomplish things. And it's a natural principle. That's all there is to it. And SMART, S-M-A-R-T, is an acronym. That means every letter stands for something to help you remember. These are the kind of goals you need. S stands for specific. Fill that in. Your goals have to be specific, number one. They can't be vague or general. Because if they're vague or general, they're just going to be out there. Because they have to be, number two, M, measurable. They have to be measurable. This is in anything you do in life, in business, even in your relationship with God. These, you have to have SMART goals in pursuing God and getting to know Him. And these, the goals that are measurable will show you whether or not you're making progress, if you're going in the right direction. A stands for attainable. That means that you have to be, they have to be something that you can actually live and experience. Are they realistic? Well, I'm going to believe God that somehow this year I'm going to get $1 billion, and let's see. That's a vague goal, by the way. But I think it's going to work out by me doing this, 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 and this. Is it realistic? I'm going to go get a, now I'm not trying to condemn anybody for buying lottery tickets. I know people went, I'm going to get a lottery ticket, and I'm going to get it. You know, and they're focusing on that all the time. No, that's not realistic. Is it graced? If it's grace, if it's God's will, then it's attainable. Because, I mean, to tell you, in the natural, going to UF and pursuing a degree was not really realistic, but it was graced. Amen? God called me. And R stands for relevant, which pertains to the goal. Does it pertain to that goal that you're working towards? And then is it timely? Is T or time-bound? Is it going to happen within your life? A realistic amount of time. I mean, can you accomplish this? You know, you got, you know, you're up in your 60s. Can you accomplish this? If you're a teenager or something, you know, think about your whole life. Can you move forward and accomplish these specific goals that you believe God's telling you to accomplish within your lifetime? And God can supernaturally help you. Amen. I want to give you a couple of real practical keys, you know, examples of how God wants us to have SMART goals, and how SMART goals just mean that you're smart, you're going to be able to accomplish them. It's rare that you ever can make things happen like now. For example, and for it to turn out well. Buying a house. You can't just go out and buy a house tomorrow, doesn't matter if you have, you know, $200,000 in your pocket. Things have to happen. You have to have paperwork. You have to do, you know, go through a process. Well, that's the way life is. I think so many Christians don't really fully understand that. You know, that's just the way life is. And that's the way God created it. And it's wisdom to say, you know, I'm going to recognize that life is, you know, everything I do is going to be a process that's worthwhile. And another example was for me going back to school. It started 6 years ago, me going back to Santa Fe, actually, which started 30-some years ago when I went to Santa Fe. They carried over some of my credits, you know, and so God took all those pieces and those parts and summed them up and put them together and put me back at Santa Fe, opened those doors, and then I started having to fill out paperwork, and I started having to do homework, and I started having, and then I started, had to fill out an application for UF, and, you know, and it's, I'm graduating in May, praise the Lord, woo, with, bachelor's in leadership communication, education communication with a minor in leadership. And since I've been going to UF, it is absolutely miraculous. I've been making 4.0s. I made another 4.0 this semester. Woo! Glory to God, because I do everything I can. I put everything I have into it. But you know, really, it's the grace of God. And I'll give you this funny example, you know, and sometimes when you hit bumps in the road, you just got to trust God, right? When it doesn't look like, you look like you've done everything you had to do, and it's not going to work. I had a groups and teams class for leadership, and everything, everybody does everything in teams now. But in this particular class, there were some people on my team, and they're getting ready to graduate. They didn't care what grade they made. They just wanted to pass. I'm like, I'm working on a 4.0. I need every edge I can get. I believe God wants me to give me a 4.0. So we had a couple of projects, and everybody had specific assignments. And I brought up a couple of things, they were making mistakes on. I was like, oh my gosh, there's a mistake on this. There's a grammar mistake or there's a spelling mistake. Ah, she's not going to count that off. Well, guess what happened? And we all got the same grade. I was like, oh. Well, I was stewing at that point. Well, we had another project. Basically, the same thing happened. So I went up to my teacher after class. I was like, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to. It was such a test. I said, I want to make a 4.0. I could make an A in this class. But these people are bringing me down. I was so frustrated. I was so aggravated. She goes, well, that's just the way life is. You're going to be working on a team in the corporate world or something, and your team's going to bring you down and cause you problems, and, there's nothing you can do about it, okay? I was like, oh, gosh. So what did I do? Scream? Go fuss at my team members? There's nothing I could do at that point but pray. And I just said, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Show me what to do, I feel like the Lord told me one more, because every morning I get my Bible, my dog, my candle, my Pandora worship music, and sit in my office and breathe and pray and worship and just relax. And it's wonderful, but I'll take things to God many times. Lord, what am I supposed to do with this? He wants us to do that. Just like Bill said earlier, you ask him for wisdom, he'll give it to you. And I felt like the Lord said, don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. I got this. I said, but Lord, okay, let it go. Well, turns out my teacher just told me that. I ended up making an A in the class because, she was just trying to teach me a little lesson there, that's the way life is. But with the super on top of that, God gave me favor and blessed me, and she ended up, just taking into consideration my work. Woo-hoo, glory. So anyway, that was exciting. And so God can... When you come up against interference and when you come up against obstacles and stuff, that's where you have to go, God, it's in your hands. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm facing another potential obstacle. I'm going to go to graduate school in fall. And I have to take the GRE. And I've already taken a couple of practice exams. It's an exam to get into graduate school, and it is super crazy hard. I mean, the practice exam, I never heard of half of this stuff. I'm just like, and so I got invited to a meeting with some people and the head of the agricultural college and everything about for graduate students. And some of the students said, we're going to phase that out at some point probably. But at the same time, though, they take all this other stuff into consideration. They don't necessarily just focus on your score for that. Thank you, Lord. And I had a couple of people say, just take it. So I'm like, okay. So I'm like going, I'm walking this path now where I'm like, oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. This is going to be a challenge. But it's always a challenge. God always challenges us. And if we walk by faith, then we'll make it. And we'll glorify him because we'll be blessed. Amen. And other people will go, wow, she did that. Maybe I can do that. But try to do the exact same thing I do. Find out what God has for you. Amen. And he's going to bless you in it. So every day we have to make that decision, that quality decision. Once we've made that decision, I'm going to follow God. I'm going to follow his path for my life. I'm going to serve him. My life is yours, Lord. That's what you have to tell him initially. And then you have to remind yourself of that every day, and especially when you go through difficult times. Amen. Well, I wanted to wrap this up with a video that I saw, that music video that I thought was really, really beautiful. It reminded me of one of my favorite Christmas movies, It's a Wonderful Life. Has anybody ever seen that? Jimmy Stewart, and his name was George Bailey, and he was going through a really, really hard time in life. And he was so discouraged. I don't want to give it away, but he had regrets in his life. If you haven't seen it, you've got to see that movie. You can find it on Netflix or something. And so anyway, he has an angel, speaking of an angel, intervenes to try to convince him that his life is valuable. And I just want to say this morning that every single person in here, your life is valuable. It's valuable to God, and it's valuable to the whole world. There's something in you that God wants you to give to the world that he's created you for. And it might be, what some people think is little and everything, but just be faithful. That's where you're going to find your fulfillment. That's where you're going to find your joy, your peace. It's just like when I prayed, you know, I got worried about not making that 4.0. I thought, I've got to have that 4.0 to get into graduate school. You know, it's like, okay, Lord. I mean, most everybody here's heard my story about algebra at Santa Fe and how God miraculously got me through that. But anyway, God's going to help you. God will help you. He'll use you for His glory. And because you are more valuable and greatly loved, I think, than you realize, most of you in here. And God will reveal to you your value when you enter into an intimate personal relationship with Him. And then you'll have that peace. It's like when you face obstacles, you'll have faith, you have peace. The Bible speaks of having a peace that passes all understanding. You have this peace. Even though I'm facing the GRE, I'm just like, Lord, if it's your will, I'll make it. You know, I'll try. I'll do the best I can. But if it's not, then I'll just do whatever you want me to do. What's graced here? And so I can't, you know, we can do a lot in our own willpower, but we can't do what God wants us to do unless we have His power on our natural. Amen. His super. So anyway, I want you to watch this video, and I believe it's going to touch your heart. If it doesn't touch you, maybe it'll touch somebody you know. You can Google it online. It's called God Only Knows by King and Country, and I just, it just shows how some people, you know, they just feel like, you know, empty. They don't feel like they have any purpose or any value in life. But, you know, God has you're very valuable. God has a great plan for your life. You just have to let Him show it to you. You just have to let Him make it happen. Amen? All right. Go ahead and show that video, please.
You got out of this message and this service and that video that your life has a purpose. And I believe 2020 is going to be your best year, but it's going to involve some decisions in your life, in my life. We have to make the right decisions. There is a devil out there. There's a devil loose. He wants you to quit. And I've said it many times. I'm going to say it again. The only way to lose in the kingdom of God is to quit. You just hang in there. Sometimes it doesn't look like you're going to make it. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes you go through some tough times. Keep going through. I've said this to people before. Someone told me, I'm going through hell. I said, good. And they said, what? I said, well, you said you're going through. I talked to somebody a couple weeks ago. I said, hey, how you been? I haven't seen you for a while. He said, I keep thinking about what you said, going through hell. He says, because I've been going through hell. And I said, but I keep remembering what you said. And this, probably 10 years ago, he was part of our church, and he heard me say that, and he says, I keep remembering that. He said, I've been going through hell, but I keep saying I'm going through. I'm going to get through this thing. I'm going to get on the other side. And I want to be here today to tell you, but no matter what you go through it. God is with you. You're not alone. Just like in that video, she wasn't alone. You're not alone. There are angels. There is a Holy Spirit. There is a God who loves you. There is a Jesus who came to earth as a baby and grew up and became a man and lived a pure, spotless life and went to a cross for you and is alive today and wants to live on the inside of you and guide you and lead you through the challenges of life. Life is tough. The earth is under a curse. There's sin. There are demons. There's the devil. The curse affects every area of the planet. There was no pain, sickness, disease, suffering, or lack before man sinned. But now that is the reality that we live with, and that is what we face every day. And there's a devil that wants to tell you, just give up. But there's a God who's saying, come on, keep going. One more. Just put your, it's a walk, the Christian walk. Just keep putting one foot in front of the other. Never give up. Do some right things. Do some smart things. You've done a smart thing by being here today. Get a church family. Come on, get a church family. Get people around you. Like in that video, someone came. You need someone's in your life. You need people. And they're all imperfect and they make mistakes. And that's the devil's plan, is to separate you and get you offended so that he can kill you, so he can destroy you, so he can steal from you and keep you from your destiny. But God has a better plan, and it is to seek Him every morning, to pray, read your Bible, be the church, and to continue to give out of your life to God. If you do those four things, you'll continue to grow and you will fulfill your destiny, because you have a destiny. God says, I formed you in your mother's womb, and I have a plan and a purpose for your life. Mm-hmm. God doesn't do anything random. Everything is precise and intricate with details. You're made specifically to solve a problem on this earth that God wants you to solve. stay connected to God. Stay connected to the family of God. Stay connected to the Word and to prayer. Don't let the devil get you offended and separate yourself from what God is doing on the earth. He's using us to reach a lost and dying generation. And out of that comes fulfillment and comes happiness and comes peace in your life. That's why we're here today, and we're expecting even more in the coming year. Let's just pray together right now. I know we're all going through something. Did you know? Everybody's going through. Everybody has something that you're facing. I just want to pray for you right now. Father, I just see every person that's here. We're all going through something, and you know every detail of every life and every struggle that everybody has and every pain and every tear, Lord God, and every cry in the night and why, and Lord, help me. And I just release your power into people's lives right now in the name of Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask you, if you've felt in the last month like giving up, will you slip up your hand right now? Just be so bold. Say, yeah, that I have felt I've wanted to give up. Put your hands down. It's a lot of hands. You're not alone. You're not alone in this room. Let me tell you, I feel like giving up all the time, but I've already made up my mind. I am not giving up. Devil, I'm not going to let you have that victory. And God gets me through every scrap. Father, I pray for these people that have raised their hand. In the name of Jesus, I put strength, I put courage. I ask you to infuse them with Holy Spirit power. Now, in Jesus' name, I break every lie of the devil. I break every lie that says they're not enough, they're not good enough, they're not going to make it, that they're a failure, and you're this and you're that and bad stuff. I break those lies now in Jesus' name. And Father, I ask you to put your image on the inside of them of the victory that is ahead for them in this coming year. They're going to come to a new place and never go back. Just like Joseph, he had ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs in his life. But there came a time when he was up and not down again. And I proclaim over you that you're coming into a new season in your life. It's coming a new day where it's not going to be the same old struggle. You hang in there and don't quit, and you're going to get the victory in this area, and your enemy is going to be defeated. Just like Moses, when he crossed through the Red Sea, God said, look back, and you will never see that enemy ever again. He's going to be swallowed by the sea and destroyed and cut off from you forever. And I declare right now over your life that some of the things that you've been struggling with for years are going to be forever buried in the sea of God and never come back after you again. Give the Lord some praise if you believe that, and if you receive that for your life, receive it. Receive it right now. Father, I pray for every one of us here today, Lord God, that we would renew our vision, and we lift our vision higher in the coming year. Lift our vision high. I come against that lie that says, that's it, your best years are behind you. That's a lie from the devil. The path of the righteous is like the light of day. It shines brighter and brighter. I don't care if you're 9, 19, 49, or 99. If you're alive and breathing, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And the path of your life is brighter and brighter. Yeah, brighter and brighter. It says, till the new day. That means it gets higher and higher. He didn't say till evening, then it starts going back down. The path of your life is brighter and brighter. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I got a very important question for everybody here today, and that is this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, because that's going to happen to every one of us. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today, you say, I don't know. I think so, hope so, really not sure. Does anybody know for sure? Well, yes, you can know for sure, because the Bible says, I've written to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. Well, how do you get eternal life, you might ask? Well, someone asked Jesus that, and here's what he said. He said, you must be born again. What does that mean? That means there comes a moment in your life when you surrender your life to Christ. You receive him as your Lord and Savior. He forgives your sins. He comes, he lives on the inside of you, and he makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, that's why you're here today. And in a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and we're going to take care of that. It's that simple. You might be here today and you say, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm really not where I want to be, and I'm ready to get back on track with God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If either one of those two apply to you, just slip up your hand real quick, and I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm going to lead you and I'm going to pray for you. Thank you. Anybody else? Today is a new day, fresh start. You want to be sure if you died tonight, you go to heaven, or you want to get back on track. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Put those hands down. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. You died on a cross for my sins. God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior, and I can't save myself. Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer, meant business with God. Praise God. Well, listen, if you prayed that prayer with me for the first time, on your connection card, there's a little box, and if you check it, I'll send you some special materials in the mail. Also, at the end of the service, we're going to have some prayer teams up here. Come on up for prayer, and if you don't have a Bible, we want to give you a Bible and put your name in it. Don't forget to put your connection card. We talked about it at the beginning of the service. I told you I'd tell you what to do with it at the end. You can put that, just fold it up and put it in the offering basket as it comes by. Here's my offering scripture. It's from Genesis 28, verses 20 through 22. It says, Jacob, you remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take, will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone which I set up as a pillar will be God's house. And watch this. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. So this is Jacob. This is way before Moses taught the people to tithe. So this is, you know, this Abraham's grandson. This principle of the tithe was known even in Genesis chapter 4 when Cain and Abel got in an argument over this. So we see that this is it's not a law, it's a principle. And it says right here, of all that you give me, I will give. So what it is acknowledging that everything we get came from God. The breath in our nostrils comes from God. The fact that our heart beats comes from God. Our hands and our feet, whatever we do, and a tithe, which means a tenth, is whenever stuff comes to me, I acknowledge, yeah God. And you know what? The Bible says there's a blessing on that, and also he rebukes the devil off of our life. So hopefully, you know, we have that in our life as today as we give our offering. We're not only giving our tithes, but we give offerings and we give alms, but the tithe is so important to acknowledge God. There's three ways that you can give. You can give in an envelope into the offering basket. You can also give through the website, and you can also text to give. There's more information in your bulletin to teach you how to do that. Also, we've been talking about for the last 6 weeks a Christmas offering to help us pay for the remodel of this building. We still haven't paid for that. And also, since we've been in the new building, our expenses have gone up quite a bit, and our income has just stayed the same. So we're experiencing this deficit. I asked everybody to pray about that, and I just want to tell you, you all have done fantastic. You've been giving. It's been great. It's really been a boost. In fact, I had something last week. We received a gift from somebody that used to be a student at UF, and they graduated and moved away, and they sent us $2,000. They didn't even know about the Christmas offering, but they sent us a $2,000 check in the mail just saying, I felt like the Lord wanted me to bless the church because you all were such a blessing to me, and things like that have been happening. So you still have time to give. I said we do it till the end of the year. So if you haven't given your Christmas offering, just mark that. And we're making good strides in making up that deficit. And I thank you for that. Let's pray over the offering right now. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to give good seed into good soil. I ask you to give back to the giver a hundredfold return, which is what you promised your disciples. And we pray over this offering, and we command it to win souls and bring glory to your name. And right now I speak this blessing over your people that you had Moses speak over your people many years ago. I say they're blessed coming in, they're blessed going out in the city, in the country, in their home, in the field, when they lie down, when they get up. Blessed is their bread and their water, their basket, their bowl, their barn, their bank account, their job, their home, their car, their animals. And all that they put their hand to, they'll prosper. If the enemy comes against them one way, he'll flee seven ways before their face. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against them in judgment, they'll condemn with the word of God. They're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. They will lend and not borrow. And all they put their hand to, they'll prosper. I call increase into God's people, spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, social increase, blessings from every direction, opportunity to lay hands on the sick and see them recover, and to lead people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, everybody that agreed with that said, amen. God bless you as you are.